Ah, oh, praise the Lord. Don't you love the presence of God? Moments when we can worship together. Let's say thanks to the worship team today as well. You know, these guys, they practice all week. They spend time as a worship community. Listen, if you're here today and you've never joined the worship team and you have a gift, a talent, please, we need you. If you're a half-decent singer and you play an instrument and you just love Jesus, why not come and talk to Smudge and Janine? We need to increase our worship team. We're getting ready. We want to begin to plant out in other places, amen. We need to send preachers and worshippers wherever we go. So if you've got a hidden talent, it's time to unhide it, all right? It's Wayne here. I know Wayne's going to offer his voice again. He has been for 25 years, but... Hey, we might even believe that Wayne can hold a tune now. He's not here, so I'm not sitting feeling it. Oh, that's great. I got away with that one. Hey, fantastic. It's a joy to be back. We were over in America last week, had the privilege to spend time with the guys from Times Square Church. Does anyone remember the story of the cross and the switchblade? Am I the only one? No, it's amazing. When I was growing up in church, it was like the story of how God came upon this pastor and he opened up a church in the middle of Times Square and it's just brilliant. It was a privilege to be with them guys. And then where were we Sunday? We were ministering in Florida and we just saw the power of God touching lives. And meanwhile, I'm watching online and I'm seeing Carla preach here. And she did great, hey? Come on, this is a moment for us to be excited in our faith, an expectation of all he's doing. Also, can I continue to encourage those who are a part of Family Church and you call this home? Fergie did a really, really good unpacking last week of our vision week, our vision month. And this month, the whole of this month, we're receiving a vision offering to replace equipment that's broken, to make what we provide on Sundays a better experience, not just for us, but for those who are coming. We've got plans to make room for about another 150 people in this room. And that costs money. So we're asking the church to be passionate in your giving this month. Every year we do a vision offering above and beyond our tithes and offerings. And it's to make sure that God's house has got what it needs to do what God's called us to do. So if you've not yet given, be prayerful. Loved what Fergie said last week about, go home, pray about it. No one's twisting your arm. Go home and pray about it with your families, but be a part. And no gift is too small. In fact, you know, sometimes we think what I give won't make a difference, but surely every raindrop makes an ocean, right? Every person giving what they can makes a difference. So let me encourage your hearts with that. So we're going to carry on with our series, Jesus Saves, which is a study of salvation. Once again, let me draw your attention to the notes that are online. If you go to the church app, we've put all of the verses and all of the key thoughts on a Bible note for you there. So you can concentrate on what I'm preaching, but also go home knowing you've got every verse that I've used. So we've explained that over the last couple of weeks. You go to the app, down the bottom it says message notes, and they're there for you now if you want them or for you later. So we're going to continue this journey on this new series called Jesus Saves, and it's the study of salvation. We're looking at the things that God has done for us in saving us. It's vital that we understand what God included in our salvation. Otherwise, we walk in ignorance and we don't walk in the good of what he's given us. That's why we're taking this time to teach on salvation. We took time to teach on the Savior. Now we're teaching on his salvation so that people walk around with an understanding of the incredible things that God has given. Our heart's desire as a church is to not neglect a great salvation. It says that in Hebrews 2 verse 3, that we shouldn't neglect a great salvation. What's the opposite to neglecting a great salvation? Living in the good of a great salvation. Call me greedy, but I want to know everything that Jesus paid for me to have. And I want to be enjoying it in my life and in my family. So we've covered already the subjects of forgiveness, justification, and reconciliation. If you've missed any of those weeks, you can go back to our social media platforms, to the app, to the website, and catch up on them by video or by audio. And today we're going to carry on with a fourth aspect or dimension to what God provides in our salvation. They're all interlinked, all interconnected, and it's the subject of redemption. As with the others, forgiveness, justification, reconciliation, we've got this grounded, established truth today. But again, when we look at redemption, it's again not about anything that we do. It's about everything that God did through Christ. Our forgiveness, our justification, our lives being reconciled to Him is outside of our performance. It's all entered into by faith in what God did when we were unable to help ourselves. So redemption is another one of those words. Sometimes when you're new to church, well, always when you're new to church, it's like you have to learn a new language. You start hearing words like justification, righteousness, sanctification, and you're like, I never learned those words in the school that I went to in Portsmouth or any other school. They're not difficult words, and that's why we want to break them down and make them understandable. So every person today, if I do my job correctly and God's on it, you'll leave going, I understand what redemption is, and I've been redeemed. That's success for me today. But every person that's listening here online is able to leave going, I understand what redemption is, and I have been redeemed. So what is redemption? Well, let's look to Wikipedia, shall we, to see what that says about redemption. Wikipedia says redemption is an essential concept in many religions, including Judaism and Christianity. The term implies that something or someone has been paid for or bought, purchased back. The example it gives is like a slave who has been set free through the payment of a ransom. So we understand redemption by looking at maybe a person who was in slavery, like the children of Israel, a payment being made, blood of Jesus being shed for us, blood being shed, gift given, person because debt is settled, being restored to their owner or restored to freedom. When we say redemption, we're talking of how God has set us free and brought us back to Himself, the original owner. The dictionary says that redemption is to redeem. It's the act of redeeming something. What is it to redeem? It means to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. Remember, we're talking today about how God has redeemed us, how we are citizens of redemption. So we are saying when we say we are redeemed that God has brought us back to Himself with a price He paid. Everybody with me? So here's a key verse again about redemption, but it's actually a key verse to everything we've shared. And it's found in Romans 3, verses 21 to 24. But now, when? Now. Not later. Now. But now the righteousness of God has been made known apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all and for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, requirement, or measurement of God. Verse 24. And are justified, remember what we learned, made just as if they never sinned, by His grace, unmerited, undeserved favor, as a gift. Through the redemption, the buying back that came through Christ Jesus. So the word redeem means to buy out of. When you redeem something, you buy it out of something back to yourself. The term was used specifically in reference to purchasing a slave's freedom. The application of this term to Christ's death on the cross is telling us that if we're redeemed, which we are, then our prior condition, which was one of slavery, God has purchased our freedom, so we are no longer in bondage or slavery to sin or Old Testament law. All right? When we say we've experienced redemption, we're saying we've been redeemed. When we say we've been redeemed, we're claiming we have been bought back to God by God. Bought out of what? Former slavery. The children of Israel in Egypt is a type, a shadow. It's symbolic of what happened in our lives when we believed in Jesus. Just as they were brought out of captivity of Egypt into a place of promise, so in Christ, we have been released from slavery. Slavery to what? Sin. But also freedom from the commandment of the Old Testament law. We're now new covenant believers. Amen. Now, the word ransom is related to the Christian concept of redemption. Jesus paid the price for our release. Let me say that again. You didn't pay it. Jesus Christ paid the price for our release from sin and its punishment. So if you are walking around as a Christian expecting punishment, you are ignorant of the price that was paid by Jesus. Jesus Christ paid the price for us to be freed from sin and its punishment. His death was in exchange for our life. In fact, Scripture's quite clear that redemption is only possible through his blood, that is by his death. So when we look at the word redeem, to redeem is the act, ransom is the price. When something needs to be redeemed, there's an act that needs to take place that brings something or someone out of slavery into freedom. The price that's paid to set someone free is called the ransom. We've all watched cowboy movies, right, where someone was being held, or a spy movie where a ransom was sent to someone. Why? Because often in those movies, somebody has been kidnapped. And to see the person who's enslaved to being kidnapped freed, the person holding them asks for a ransom payment. And if a person wants the person they love to be set free, they have to pay a ransom payment. If they pay the ransom payment, the person who's in captivity can be liberated. Jesus Christ was the ransom payment of God for your freedom. All of us are born through Adam in captivity, bondage, and slavery to the law of the Old Testament, but also to the nature of sin. God loved us so much, he said, I want my people free. The payment to set us free was the blood of a perfect man, because it was the sin of a perfect man, Adam, that brought us into captivity. For God so loved the world, he paid the ransom price of Jesus Christ to set you and me free from the captivity we were born into and every captivity we developed for ourselves. Can someone say amen? Amen. So here's some verses to back up what I'm saying. Matthew 20, verses 28. Even as the Son of Man, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom payment for many. Jesus Christ came to earth not to serve, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as the ransom payment being demanded for our freedom. Let me read from 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 to 6. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. If you're a part of all, would you give me a wave? If you're not a part of all, it means you weren't physically born, you're robotic, you're some form of science experiment. Everybody else, give me a wave if you're a part of all. God the Father gave Jesus as a ransom payment to bring redemption to our lives so that we were liberated from sin and from the law so that we could be his completely. All right, here's another verse. Colossians 1, 13 to 14. Again, all these verses are on your app notes if you want to visit them. He, that is God, has, present tense, delivered us from the domain of darkness and translated us or transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Here it comes. In whom, Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. So again, just like forgiveness, justification, reconciliation, it all points to one person, Jesus. Through Jesus, all, that's everyone that lifted their hands, have redemption, the purchasing, buying back out of, and freedom in Christ. So redemption is always based on Jesus' perfect work and sacrifice. It's something received by faith, just like the other parts and the parts that are going to follow. The only thing that we bring to our redemption is to believe in what he said he's done. That's it. Because like we said with justification, if man was to add anything, they would ruin everything. If God relied on us for 5%, our 5% would ruin the 95. God redeemed us between him and his Son by the power of his Spirit. He brought us into a place of redemption. Redemption is something he initiated, not us. Sometimes we sit there and we think we prayed enough, we begged enough. No, we could never have done enough. In fact, God planned in redeeming all of us before any of us were born. In fact, God planned on redeeming humanity when Adam was being taken out of the garden. The moment that Adam and Eve were being separated from God's life and his Spirit, God was coming up with a plan of redemption to bring them back home. You see, the kingdom of God is your true home. Every expression of life that you've known before knowing Jesus was a fake existence. When you're born again, your life comes home to God, because everything that divided you from him is removed by the payment of the blood of Jesus. Now, God initiated this, because sometimes I think we pat ourselves on the back when we have no cause to. God sat in heaven and said, I want them back. Isn't that beautiful? It was God that sat in heaven and saw your face through the corridor of time and said, I want them back. And the devil, within legal terminology, had every right to say, then you're going to have to pay a ransom. And when the Lord inquired what the ransom was, the enemy said, it will cost you the blood of a perfect man. The only perfect man available was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave his only beloved Son as a ransom payment for your life to be set free from the grip of sin upon it, the grip of captivity upon it, and being hell-bound, which we were through natural birth. It's important we understand this stuff, eh? Romans 5, verse 8 says, God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. None of you were outside of being a sinner when Christ died for you. Isn't it wonderful? You can read on later on, Paul begins to break this thought down and he says, barely for a good man will someone die, for a righteous man maybe. But God demonstrates his love for us, that while every one of us were lost and bound and separated by sin, not the sins you did, but the ones that you were born into through Adam, while we were in the condition of sinner and separated, Jesus Christ died to pay our ransom to bring us into his redemption. Now, his redemption provides complete freedom from slavery and every debt owed through the full payment of his blood. That's why earlier during the prayer meeting or during the worship, I said, come on, let's know what he's done for us so that we can tell sickness to clear off. Let's know what he's done for us so that we can treat anything that's hell originated to go home. We've got to walk not knowing that we're going to heaven alone one day when we die, but every good thing, every authority that God has given us to walk in on the earth. Now, his redemption provides complete freedom, but it's complete freedom because of the payment he made. The payment he made was the blood of his only beloved son. Again, this is said very clearly in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed, past tense, were redeemed. It was not with things like silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your parents. Do you know every way of life you knew before Christ was pointless? It was empty. Fullness of life comes when a person is born again through Christ and connected to their true Father, God. It says, but you weren't redeemed, bought back out of slavery from the empty way of life or anything that was done by your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without any blemish or defect. He was chosen by God before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for our sake. Okay, this is an interesting verse, isn't it? But before the creation of things, God already planned to buy back that which was fallen by giving the ransom payment of the blood of his son. Now, Christ was revealed 2,000 years ago, not for his sake, because he was sinless, but for ours. He wasn't in a prison cell, we were. Come on, all this leads to something incredible, doesn't it, called the love of God. So what are some of the benefits of redemption? I've got verses for every one of these, but I've included them on the app. So I'm going to read through the benefits of our redemption, some of the benefits of our redemption. And if you're like, where's that in the Bible? Go to the app, Church Notes, and I've got verses to show every one of them in Scripture. So the benefits of redemption is eternal life. There was no eternal life without redemption because second death still had claim on us. Eternal life has invalidated the second death. Now, we know that these bodies one day will fade away, but we get a glorified body. That's good news, isn't it? Well, it is for some of us that are getting older, believe me, it is. Some of you young ones, you're like, well, no, this one's pretty good. Wait until you're 60, all right? You'll be saying, all right, you've glorified my spirit, you've glorified my soul, I'm being glorified, and thank you one day that this body won't catch up. But you see, it'll be like you shedding a skin suit, you don't die. Because you are an eternal being. The moment you were born again, you were born of the spirit, which meant you're going to change your garment one day, but you will never die. We have no fear of death because of eternity and eternal life. Forgiveness of sins is another benefit. Righteousness is another benefit. Freedom from the law's curse is another benefit. Adoption into God's family is another benefit. Deliverance from sin's bondage, another benefit. Peace with God, another benefit. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. All of these things and more are the benefits of a person who has been redeemed. You can expect the Holy Spirit to be talking to you every day because he's living now in you. He couldn't live in you as long as you were a sinner. So God must have dealt with sin for the Holy Spirit to now call you home. We've got to understand the power of our redemption. So we also understand that this actually brings to us a twofold blessing of God. Because redemption means to buy back. And in this case, it's to buy back to the original owner. We were made by God to be God's. We were stolen, but God has brought us back to himself by paying the ransom price of Christ. All right, let me put this into a story. There's many different variations of this story, but I kind of made my own one, all right? Imagine there's a man and he has a hobby of making things out of matchsticks. He spends years chopping the end off of matchsticks and gluing them together to make models, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge. But one day he says, I'm going to make my best ever. And he makes a galleon ship, thousands upon thousands of matchsticks, trimmed, glued together, finally put in place. He spends years on this galleon. And then one day he steps back and he says, it's finished. In my view, it's perfect. And he's so excited by what he'd made because this one thing wasn't like the others. They were statues. It's like he'd poured himself into this one. And so he goes to celebrate and he leaves it on his kitchen counter and he goes to celebrate, obviously not to the pub, to Greg's. He goes to get a sausage roll. Come on, let's keep this holy today. All right, he didn't go to the pub, he went to Greg's to get, you know, a 3 for 2 or 4 for 3. He went for the deal. But Miley's in Greg's eating exceptional sausage rolls where the peppering is absolutely perfect. Some thieves break into his home and they start to steal things, go through his drawers, take jewelry. And all of a sudden, as they're leaving his home, one of the thieves sees this galleon, this ship, and he says, I like that. And like any thief, without permission, he took the galleon and stole that as well. Later on that day, the man returned from Greg's. And he walks into the house, and it's obvious straight away that he's been burgled. Somebody has broken in. And he starts to think, what about the DVD player? What about my computer? Then all of a sudden, he looks to the kitchen counter, and it's gone. Out of all the things he owned, this one broke his heart. Because other things could be bought. This had been made. And he was really sad that this had been stolen because of the time he'd poured into it, the love he'd poured into it. About 3 weeks go by, and he's walking through the high street where he lives, and it goes through past a secondhand shop. We call it a pawn shop, not porn, P-O-R-N, P-A-W-N. Let me just, I don't want any emails coming in, all right? You mentioned a pawn shop. No, a pawn shop, all right? P-A-W-N, a place where you buy other people's stuff. You're all there, right? Thank you. You'd be amazing why people write emails. Lord, give them more to do with their time, I pray. And as he's walking past this shop, his eye is caught by something in the window and he stops and he looks and it's the boat he made. It's the boat that he'd poured himself into. It was the boat that he'd modeled with his own hands. Excitedly, he walks within the shop and he says to the shopkeeper, who says to him, can I help you? He says, yes, I can. I want to take my boat, please. I'd like to take my boat. And the shopkeeper's excited. He said, okay, this is what it costs. He says, what do you mean? I made it. It was mine. I fashioned it. And the shopkeeper said, yeah, I don't really care too much about that. And he saw the excitement in the man and he set the price 10 times more than what he was going to ask. And he put a ransom price, a payment price on the table. Without questioning the ransom price, the man left the shop, went to an ATM, started to draw out the money that he needed. And he went straight back into the shop and he said to the man, please, I'll take that ship right now. I'll take that galleon right now. Without any bidding, because he didn't want to devalue what it was, he put the full payment on the counter. And the man was confused that he would pay so much for what looked like a wooden boat. And the man took the galleon and he gave it back to the gentleman. And the guy was looking at him like, why would he pay so much? But he overheard the man saying when he left the shop, I made you and I bought you back. You're twice mine. You're twice mine. God made you. You came from God. You were stolen and so was I. But God in his great love said, I cannot let you stay stolen. What's the price? The blood of your only begotten son. I put the price on the counter. Now give me back what belongs to me. We belong to God. So my testimony today is I'm twice his. Sometimes I hear people say, I don't know if I belong to God. I'm twice his. I was made by him and redeemed back to him by the blood of Jesus Christ and that alone. So this is our present tense reality if you're a believer. And we need to understand that, just like Carla said so well last week, we've come through the door of reconciliation and redemption. We need to now let other people know that that door is for them too. There's a verse, I never used to get this verse until recently. I remember when I was growing up in Elam, in the church that I grew up in as a younger boy. The pastor, who was a great guy, called Pastor Archie Biddle. Great guy, incredible man of God. My whole family found faith through that man. He used to make us sing a song, and I never got it as a kid. I was that irritating 10-year-old on the back row. That was me. I know it's hard to believe. And me and my friends, we kind of ran that church in our own minds. And I can always remember a number of things. And one of the things was he would sing this song. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And the church's response had to be, you know, so, you know. But they didn't sing that. It was just, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But me and my three friends, we said, this is a great opportunity. So we used to scream from the back, so. Archie Biddle had this red face and he would just look at us, stun us in a moment. A preacher's stare would freeze us, but we couldn't move. I never got that song, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, until I understood what my redemption was. When I understood that I was the one in slavery, he gave the blood of his only son to bring me, not when I die, but now, into glorious liberty and freedom. He has taken me from the kingdom of darkness and brought me into the son of his life, the life of his son. And there's one other way that you can read it in the NIV, and it says, so let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. It doesn't matter if your story is 40 years old, 50 years old, or a few weeks. If you know that he's saved you, begin to go tell some other people how he delivered you out of the hand of the enemy. That's what the verse says when you read on. Let the redeemed of the Lord begin to speak. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them shout from the rooftops. But my life was once in the hand of the enemy. But my God loved me so much, he gave the only beloved son's blood to bring me from captivity into perfect freedom. I am the redeemed, and the redeemed is not going to stay quiet. See, when we catch this in our heart, you don't need me to twist your arms to tell others about the love of God. You'll have to try and stop yourself. All of these things are given to us. Isn't that wonderful? His forgiveness, a gift I could never earn. My justification, my ability to stand before him just as if I'd done nothing wrong, a gift I did nothing to earn. Reconciliation with him from estrangement to family. Something he gave me. I could never disturb. I stand forgiven. How can the day not be brilliant when you get up and look at yourself in the bathroom mirror and say, hello, you're forgiven. You're justified. You're reconciled. But also you're redeemed. A man no longer in slavery, a man that belongs to God. Hey, maybe you're here today and you've never heard this stuff before. Maybe you did and it suddenly just made sense. I hope so. I hope that when we preach for good news on a Sunday, we speak the oracles of God that change hearts. That's my heart. I don't want to speak words and stories. I don't want to dance for you. I'm not a circus monkey. I want to bring truth from heaven that gets into you and changes everything. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted the gift of salvation. Well, why don't you today? You've got nothing to lose, everything to gain. Church, could we respond to God's redemption by just praying together this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son as a ransom payment for my redemption. Thank you, Jesus. You shed your blood on the cross brought me out of captivity, out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of the Son of your love. I thank you for redemption, that I can be your redeemed. Just my every eyes closed, such a presence of God in this room right now. If you're here today and you've never received the gift of salvation, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to give you an opportunity when I count to three to lift your hand. And if you're here and you've never prayed a prayer of salvation where you've welcomed Jesus into your life, maybe you've been away from God and something has caused you to come home, but you've never recommitted your life to him. We've all prayed the prayer together. The person to the left, to the right, everybody did it. But maybe this morning, this is the morning that you are for the first time becoming his, or you're coming back to him. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand when I count to three, nice and boldly, just as Jesus died on a cross boldly for you, unashamed of you. I want you when I count to three to lift your hand like you mean it, if that's your prayer today. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. God bless you. I see that hand. Keep that hand up. God bless you. I see that hand. This is awesome. What an incredible morning. Two incredible people. Anybody else? A third person? You say, me too, Andy. Come on, you got nothing to lose. God bless you. I see that little hand, young man. I see that hand going up there. Is there a fourth person? You say, me too, me too, me too. You got nothing. There's a hand at the back there. God bless you. I see that fourth hand. Is there a fifth person? You say, I'm coming into the kingdom of God. I'm coming back to God today. Why would I not? Just going to wait 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds. Anyone else? And you don't know for a fact that you have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for this man and this woman and these children that have lifted their hands today. Let salvation burst into their lives like sunshine after a winter's day. Let the window curtains be pulled aside and let light flood into them as your spirit fills them up, Lord. Thank you for their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God a round of applause. Thank you, Jesus. How can it not be a good week when you know you've been redeemed? May the Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you great peace.